I wish I could have a do-over for this morning, but I did the best I could. So I'm ready for it tonight. There are just going to be some chapters when we go through the Bible that, to be honest, I find them more difficult to preach. And yet there are nuggets in there that my experience has proved to me it's worth digging. Because I have found some just treasure in the most unusual spots in the Bible. And it's been very beneficial for me to go through the Bible like this, and I hope it will help you. I see some very practical things for us as Christians today. So if you're able to stand, we'll begin at Romans 8. We'll read one verse, and I will have you be I'll pray and have you be seated. And I want to preface this by letting you know that we're going to look at the tribe of Dan, as a type of the flesh. I think that will really add application to Judges 18. You're going to see it. You'll see it much clearer if we go into chapter 18 with the understanding these people are led by their flesh. And as New Testament believers, as Christians today, it's important that you understand that if you are saved, you have two natures. You have a fleshly nature, which is referred to as the old nature. You have a new nature, which is referred to as the spirit. If you don't have the new nature, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Because just that first nature is not going to cut it. And the reality is there'll be a lot of churchgoers, who are not born again. That's a reality. And if judgment is to begin in a nation, it must be first begin at the house of God. That's what Peter says. And if it's going to begin at the house of God, it must first begin with each member examining our own hearts, whether we're walking in the flesh or in the spirit. And if we ever have walked in the spirit, because an unsaved person can't walk in the spirit. And yet an unsaved person can blend in with saved people, as they did with Israel going through the Red Sea. Not everybody that left Egypt escaped the wrath of God. They just didn't. The Bible talks about a mingled people. Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the what? But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the what? Before we pray and sit down, let's just make application here. When it says, mind the things of the Spirit, can anybody identify something that is of the Spirit that we are to mind? Just checking to see if... Well, those are fruit of the Spirit, sure. How about sometimes my questioning doesn't help you, but what about the Word of God? Is that of the Spirit? So, obviously, if there's a hunger and thirst for the Bible, the Word of God, well, that's minding the things of the Spirit, you see. Not just head knowledge, but a heart to please God. Let's pray. Father, bless the teaching of the Bible this evening and help me to speak and help us to hear your voice. May you lead all that takes place. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges 18. Judges chapter 18. All right. So, God is allowing us to see something about his people Israel. Not just individuals, but in regards to tribes. He allows us to see that Dan is the first tribe to go into idolatry or to promote it. There are reasons for this. I will say, my opinion is, they minded the things of the flesh. But I'll go a step farther. They minded the things of the flesh because they didn't have the Spirit. It's interesting, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John would say, talking about apostates, an apostate is somebody who leaves the truth. They'd been around it, but now they leave it. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, talks about this great falling away before Antichrist comes. We might get to that verse. But John would say this, they went out from us, therefore they were not of us. For if they were of us, they no doubt would have stayed with us. I don't think I quoted the end of that correct. That's a bold statement from the Word of God. It's not referring to people who leave a church or something like that. It's referring to people who leave the faith. Who leave the faith. You see, because listen to this. Time and tests always reveal the truth. They always reveal the truth. Time and tests. Words don't, not always, but time and tests do. So, we go back to Dan now in Judges chapter 18. In Judges chapter 18, I must review, and I'll review quickly. In Judges 18, the first thing we discover is Dan is looking for their inheritance. But wait, according to chapter 1, there was a portion of the best ground available to them that they declined. They rejected. And why did they reject it? Anybody remember? Because the Amorites held the ground. A people probably greater in stature, greater in military might, held the ground. And so the first thing I notice about the flesh avoids God's best because of adversity. I said the flesh avoids God's best because of adversity. Why? Well, they lack faith in God. Unsaved people don't have faith in God. Not the kind of faith that helps them overcome that adversity. But even Christians who are minding the flesh are obviously very weak in faith. And so they lack faith in God. Those who mind the flesh avoid God's best because of adversity. And it's sad, it's tragic. I remember hearing John R. Rice share this story, this illustration. He said his fear, he was a praying man, he said his fear was he would get into heaven and God would show him all the things he didn't inherit because he lacked faith. All the things that could have transpired while he sojourned on this earth, that he could have been used for the glory of God, but he lacked faith. That's something worth considering. And it is important. It is important for single people to understand this as well as married people. Single people, if you want to get married, God has a best for you. I said God has a best for you, single people. If you're looking to get married, God has a plan A and a person who is a plan A. The devil will always bring his counterfeits before you get to see God's best. But they avoid God's best because of adversity. They can't wait, they don't want to work, and they don't have faith. Nope, adversity. Well, it takes too long to get this car. How about I just go in debt to get it? It takes too long to pay, get this boat. How about I just go in debt? And that's kind of the philosophy. Number two, I can't spend a lot of time here. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. So these men of Dan, it says in the children, let me read it, begin at verse 2. Verse 2, it says, and the children of Dan sent of their family five men from the coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land, who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. I want to pause there. They knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. I talked about this morning, but I want to present it this way. We need a quick reminder. That Levite there, he's an apostate. He's in a house of little g gods. It would be like me deciding, I'm going to go down to the Buddhist temple in Plainfield. There's one somewhere in Indianapolis. And you know, we're just going to kind of focus our attention on this image here, because there's a lot of merit in this. I mean, I know what the Bible says, but you know, look at this. Well, that's foolish. This Levite was supposed to know the law of God. Now, here's what I want to bring out. This statement concerning these five scouts of Dan. Notice the statement in verse 3. They knew the voice of the young man. Now, that's not so strange. What's sad is, if you remember me mentioning it, they had to go by the house of God, Shiloh. That's what's sad. So the flesh has an ear for the apostate, but not the Lord. The flesh has an ear for the apostate. You know the ear tickler? The apostate, but not the Lord. Now Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That's what Jesus said. I'm finding something strange already about these Danites. They have an ear for the voice of an apostate, but not the Lord. I remember we had a family here that was attending, and I thought they were growing. And all of a sudden, they quit coming and inquired. I didn't inquire. Somebody else inquired. Well, the wife started attending this other meeting with this guy that was really quite the entertainer. He's a bodybuilder, too, man. All this crazy stuff. And so, I mean, he was funny. He was hilarious. And so, you know, what a blessing to go and get a bunch of laughs on Sunday. That's a good time. And so, you know, that's why they kind of quit coming. Or she did, and then all of a sudden the family's out. And, anyways, that guy's out of the ministry now. I don't know. I don't keep up with all that. But I just found it funny looking back. All right. Some people have an ear for that stuff. My prayer is that the Word of God will just draw its crowd. So the flesh avoids God's best because of adversity. The flesh has an ear for the voice of an apostate, but not the Lord. The flesh, okay, now we come to verse 7. We already talked about this briefly as well. So the five men leave the priest with his blessing, of course. And verse 7 says, and the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians. They were quiet, weren't causing trouble. They were secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame. They were just easy pickings. And we talked about this briefly. So Here we go again. The flesh seeks the easy blessing. The easy blessing. Now, we can apply this to Christians. Oh, yeah, we can. Well, let's use a Bible character, because that can be less conviction initially. Well, let's use Peter. He gets picked on a lot, Brother Peter. Jesus says, Peter, will you thrust out your boat? A little. A little. Peter fished all day, hadn't caught a thing. He's cleaning his nets. Jesus shows up, and Jesus says to Peter, will you thrust your boat out just a little bit? Just put it out a little bit so I can talk to the people away from the bank and have a little more space. Peter had no problem thrusting out a little bit. Okay, some of you know I talked about this in Sunday school. And so then Jesus, a few minutes later, after he's done preaching, says, hey, I want you to launch out into the deep now and let down your nets for a draft. Okay, Brandon talked about that story. And so now Peter's a little reluctant. If you remember the passage in Luke 5, Peter says, Lord, we tarried all night and caught nothing. And then he says, nevertheless. Okay, you see that flesh and spirit thing going on there. Nevertheless, at thy word, which is always wise, I'll let down my net. See, rather than nets. And so here's what I want to bring out. So what happened when he does that? He catches fish, doesn't he? Like more fish than he can handle. Now, did the miracle take place when he thrust out a little, or did it take place when he launched out into the deep? It's all right. You can speak up. It's all right. When he launched out into the deep? All in favor of launched out in the deep, amen? Yeah, that's it. That's when the miracle took place. It did not take place when he thrust out a little. Now, that was all right, thrust out a little. A lot of people can thrust out a little. A lot of people don't have a problem thrusting out a little. A lot of people don't mind doing the little things. As long as it doesn't take faith, as long as it's not an inconvenience, because faith can sometimes be an inconvenience to the flesh. Oh, it can. And so, they seek the easy blessing, one that does not require faith, work, or waiting. Well, we got an easy pickings here. These people, they're secure. They're not expecting any trouble. They don't seem to have a militia, and nobody can protect them. Oh, this is easy. And listen, I praise the Lord for everybody that involves himself in every little aspect of the ministry. I do. I am very thankful because it takes everybody to make the church operate the way it's supposed to. I'm just telling you on an individual basis, listen, the blessings come when you have to exercise faith. Let me tell you, when it's most difficult for you to do the will of God, that's when you're going to see God do the most amazing things. I've seen it over and over and over again. Usually about the time I'm ready to quit, I mean, I'm ready to say I'm done with this. If I just show up and do my job, it's amazing how God shows up. It's like, wow. I didn't know he was going to do that. If I knew that, I wouldn't have felt like this. So I move on here. I got to move on. So the flesh seeks the easy blessing. Number four, the flesh is quick to take advantage of others. Okay, so here we go, verse 13. And so they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came unto the house of Micah. Okay, so that scout of party of five that was scouting the land, they've come back to their tribe of Danites. Now they've brought the militia with them and family and kids and all that, and they're ready to conquer. And so as they're perusing through the land, isn't this interesting? They've not forgot Micah's house. And watch. Verse 13, they come to the house of Micah. Verse 14, then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish and said unto their brethren, Do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod and teraphim and a graven image and a molten image? Because we know there is. See, when they traversed through there, their eyes got a glance at the silver and the gold, and they didn't forget about it. And so why not? And so they say, now therefore consider what ye have to do. They look back to their fellow soldiers. Verse 15, and they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. Hello, Levite. Verse 16, and the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And I'm going to pause there. Well, I'll read on. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Now I'm going to pause there. It says they took these items that were made of silver and gold. So their mindset of the Good Samaritan, or their mind, their motive is what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. If I can get it from you. And so let me state it this way. The flesh is quick to take advantage of others. Excuse me, friend. Our flesh is selfish. And when we're in the flesh, it's typically, what's in it for me? That's the mindset. What can I get out of this? Or, when it comes to relationships, what can they do for me? Can they be a stepping stone for me? Can they be a tree that I can climb to get higher in life? Rather than what Christ would have us view them, view people as, an opportunity to bless, to share the gospel with, to serve, to demonstrate His grace. That's what God would have us view other people as. And yet the flesh is not that way. I said the flesh is not that way. And so I move on. Don't know if that's grabbing you or not. What we see here is they were users, not helpers. And also, I want you to notice this. They have no guilt. They have no guilt concerning the theft. Okay, y'all kind of catch that? Well, let me ask you this. If you don't believe in God, that's one way to remove the guilt. You know, when I'm cruising down the interstate, if I don't believe there are police officers around, I don't feel guilty about speeding. I should, and that's a shame on me. Shame. But sometimes the king's business requireth haste. Or sometimes I tell them, well, I'm driving by grace, not by law. But isn't it amazing how quick we slow down when we see the bubble top coming by or up in front of us? Or when your wife points out there's a police up there. Really? You see, when you don't believe in God, well, that's a good way to take the sting out of sin. Hello? And the Danites don't seem to have a problem with this at all. They just stole. Even though they're stealing idols, they stole. They stole, and it's not bothering them a bit. Why? They're not being led by faith in God. They're being led by their flesh. And though, I'm going to say this, though there are proclaimed atheists that can appear to be moral, let me just tell you, and they can be moral. They may be very moral people. Many atheists have disavowed God so that they can justify their very immoral behavior. Why do you think they want to get remove God from the schools and from the community, from the public, and all of that? Why? Sure makes it easier to push immorality and sin and fleshly behavior. How is it, and I'll say this from the pulpit, that sodomy can be promoted in our public schools? How is it that that can take place now? I'll tell you how. You remove the light and darkness has free reign. That's how. Take God out of the equation. I'm talking the God of the Bible. And then all of a sudden, there you go. So, we move on. So the flesh, as we look at people who are led by the flesh, they avoid God's best because of adversity. They hear, they have an ear for the voice of apostates, but not the Lord. They seek the easy blessing. The flesh is quick to take advantage of others. And the flesh, watch this, look at the end of chapter 8, or verse 18. The end of verse 18. So the priest speaks up. It says, "Then said the priest unto them, What do ye?" Oh, all of a sudden he's going to speak up now. "What do ye?" Well, that put a little sting in their behavior, so they had to stare him down, and they respond. Verse 19. And they said unto him, "Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel?" Okay. The flesh wants religion, but not God. They want religion, but not God. So, this priest speaks up, and there's a little bit of sting of maybe an awareness that, well, this isn't right, but we're not going to let you tell us that. And as a matter of fact, why don't you just follow us? Well, that's accommodating. That'll make it a whole lot easier if we steal the priest who was guarding the images anyways, if you come along with us. And so the priest is sold out. I mean, if he'll sell himself to Micah, he'll certainly sell out to a tribe of people. I mean, if you got a price, the devil knows it. That's something worth considering. That's the difference between conviction and non-conviction. If you got a price, the devil knows it. And so this priest follows along. He's involved in the theft, and he's feeling good about it. He's almost giddy in the sense. Well, we read, it says, verse 20, and the priest's heart was glad, verse 20, and he took the ephod and the teraphim. So the priest takes it, the ephod, the teraphim, the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. Well, good for you. But I want to tell you something. God made us humans with a need to worship. He did. But here's the deal. Humanity got tainted in the Garden of Eden. And if you remember the words of Satan to Eve, this would bring clarity to what's taken place. Satan says to Eve, "Has God said?" And she says, "Well, God said that we eat of that, we'll surely die." And then Satan says, "Oh, you will not surely die." And he goes on to say this. He says, "You'll be as gods." Little g, gods. You know what he was saying? You're going to be the ruler of your world, the master of your domain. At least that's going to be your desire. You're going to think the sun evolves around you and the earth as well. That's what's going to happen when you take this. When sin infects you, you're going to see the world from a self-centered perspective. By the way, part of renewing the mind is learning to see the world from Christ's perspective. Because we're born with a self-centered perspective. Them little cuties in the nursery, we love them. But if you leave a child left to himself, bringeth his mother to shame. They got to be taught. It's not all about you, Pee-wee. No. And those who don't get taught, well, they end up in our jails, insane asylums, prisons. Or some of them now in the culture we're in, they fit right in. Because we're such a self-centered, accommodating society now. If it feels right to you, then it must be right. Excuse me, No, that's not true. Okay. So, they want religion, but not God. You know, Cain wanted religion, but he didn't want God. The people of the Tower of Babel, they wanted religion, but they didn't want God. God showed up. Oh, here's one for you. You know, the Laodicean church wanted religion. But apparently they didn't want God because he was outside the door. The flesh wants religion. They want to feel religious. But they don't want God because God exposes the flesh. Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing, it's the spirit that quickeneth." The Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So we move on. We're making progress here. As we learn about the flesh and the Danites, they've got their own religious leader now who will accommodate them, who will never bring conviction. He'll never preach a sermon to make them feel bad about their sin. You think this guy's going to preach a sermon to make them feel bad about stealing after what they just did? If he's going to let them go there, you think he's going to let them go if they want to be immoral and fornicators? Well, sure he will. You know, if they want to have sodomy in there, he's not going to say anything as long as he's got a good salary and everything. Sure, he's not going to say anything like that. It's a feel-good religion that this fellow's propagating. And listen, when I think it all the way through, nothing feels better than being right with God, the true God. I move on. We come to verse 22. Micah comes home. In verse 22 it says, "And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan." So again, Micah got his posse together. Verse 23, "And they cried unto the children of Dan, Hey, you Danites! And the Danites turned their faces and said unto Micah, What aileth thee that thou comest with such a company?" See, it's probably very probable that this company that Micah brought, they had some weapons. It's very probable. Verse 24, "And he," that's Micah, "said, Ye have taken away my gods, which I made." Poor fella. "And the priest, and ye are gone away, and what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, What aileth thee?" Are you kidding me? Don't you see? "And the children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back unto his house." Pause. The flesh is not afraid of conflict when it requires no faith. The flesh is not afraid of conflict when it requires no faith. Listen, I remember as a teenager, I remember as a kid. There were some kids I wasn't afraid to wrestle. There were other kids I'm like, yeah, not me. That's just fleshly mentality. Okay? I've got four younger brothers. I had no problem when we were young taking all four of them on. Because when you're young, 2.5 years older than the next oldest one is pretty significant. You know, 12-year-old versus a 10-year-old versus an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. I didn't have a problem with that. It was fun. But there were a couple kids in the school I went to that I'm like, no, I don't think so. What is it? That's fleshly thinking. The flesh never has a problem with conflict if the flesh can handle it. We don't have a problem with that. If we can argue our way out of it, smart mouth our way out of it, pay our way out of it. Eh, we don't have a problem with conflict. We do have a problem with conflict, though, when it's greater than us. The flesh does. So the Danites, they're just being typical fleshly people here. They're not afraid. Oh, by the way, you all heard of King Saul? May have heard of him, David's predecessor. You know, he was a great man for a good while, but you know, when he met Goliath, he met his match, didn't he? You say, why? Because he became a man of the flesh. And when you become a man of the flesh, when conflict is greater than you and it requires faith, you have none. So you ain't getting involved in that. No way. So that's where he's at. I move on. As we consider this idea of being led by the flesh promotes, okay, we move on. Let's look at verse 27. We're almost at the end of the chapter. And they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came unto Laish, unto a people that were at quiet and secure. And they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. So they got their easy land, their easy inheritance. And there was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. And they had no business with any man. And it was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob. And they built a city and dwelt therein. So they got this easy inheritance. Didn't require faith. And if it didn't require faith, is God going to be remembered? I said, if it didn't require faith, is God going to be remembered in that city? No. Let me tell you something. Every event, every trial, every difficulty in your life that required faith, God got the glory, and you learned something about God through it. Every difficulty and trial we've experienced as a church that required faith, God got the glory. We get to look back and say, this is definitely God's house. It is not ours. But when it requires no faith, well, God's not going to get the glory. So they move in. They've got them this inheritance, and what do? We come to verse 29, and they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. So God's letting us know this promotion of idolatry took place for a long time in this tribe. This tribe became a poison to the rest of Israel. Verse 31, and they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So what else does the flesh do as I conclude this chapter? What else does it do? It promotes an alternative to God's house is what it does. Isn't it strange? Isn't it strange all the things that take place on Sunday now? I mean, I remember when in high school in the 80s, not too long ago, doesn't seem that long ago. I don't remember things being open in my small town on Sunday. I remember when I was backslidden as a teenager, Sunday was the most boring day of the week as a young teenager because nothing was open. There was one store that was open till noon, and I had to go down and get the newspaper for my grandpa. That was it. Also, I don't recall having any high school sporting events on Sunday. I don't recall that. But you know, it's amazing to me now. It's like Sunday. Well, that's a great day to have our softball leagues or baseball leagues or basketball leagues or volleyball leagues. Let's they can play on Sunday because who's going to go to church? Well, I know. Well, you know, is there any trouble here? No. Same problem as they had in the Old Testament, Baal worship. Oh, no, that's Baal, right? Baal, yeah, that's right. Got an alternative. Now, listen, I like sports as much as the next guy. I really do. I thought it was cool as could be to watch the Buccaneers game, and I'm disgusted with the NFL, but I still watched it, so I'm just telling you. Anyways, I just thought it was, man, that guy's 43 and still playing quarterback. That was kind of interesting to me. But, you know, all the stuff is on Sunday. It's all on Sunday. And I tell you, parents with young people who like athletics, it's just something you got to be careful about, because the pressure's going to be there, because kids want to participate. They want to play. They want to get involved. And the pressure's going to be there, church or this, church or this, church or this. Well, friend, don't give up Sunday. Don't give up Sunday. My goodness, we've given up, we've given up, we've given up. They're taking everything. You say, what's happened? Well, see, this tribe of Dan, they're a good testimony to what I'm talking about. They found an alternative. What we can do is we'll start a religion that won't have a problem with, you can kind of do whatever you want. It's real. Matter of fact, if you want to have church on Saturday evening rather than Sunday, that'd work. Do they do that? Are there? If you want to get the Lord's Supper on a drive-thru, we can do that for you as well. There are places that do that. I can get my drive-thru communion. All's well. Quick confession for a quarter. I'm telling you, we're in a society of idolatry. They may not be worshiping these little statues, but they're worshiping something other than God. That's it. Because the flesh must find an alternative, because they're religious. They must find it. And so who do we worship? They worship the athletes. We worship the teams. We worship the actors. We worship whatever the world makes big of. That's what we worship. That's it. And so, is that the end of the story of Dan? No. There's one final thought. And this is the grand finale. You see, Dan, again, if we look at them as a type of the flesh, which I think they are a very clear picture of fleshly people, and we wonder even if they were saved at all, if they were believers. It doesn't appear that, at least as a tribe. I do find it fascinating. I'm reading through Exodus right now. I find it fascinating that God used some men of Dan to help make the material for the tabernacle. They were gifted men. I found that fascinating. Gifted men. But then I realized God endows people with gifts and they don't always use it for Him. Or they can use it for Him for a while and then drift when it becomes a way to make money. Elvis, he was gifted. So I'll move on. This is it. Grand finale. You know the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God? How many of you know that? They will not. It will not. On 1 Corinthians 15:50, it says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:10 tells us that this list of people, this behavior, effeminate, drunkards, fornicators, and da-da-da-da-da, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you, says Paul. Such were, past tense. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22, he talks about the works of the flesh, and he concludes in verse 22 by saying, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 22. But here, before I lose you, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. In Revelation chapter 7, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to read just briefly about converts during the Great Tribulation period. God is going to bring 144,000 Jews to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. 12,000 from each tribe God will bring to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a theologian to figure this out when you read it. In Revelation chapter 7, if you would begin Let's just begin. Let's begin at verse 2 here. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now look at this closely. Don't miss this. Verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of who?" That's not symbolic, that's literal. That's literal. That's not the Jehovah's Witnesses that are going to hang out afterward. Okay? That is literal. Verse 5, notice the tribes are mentioned. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. That's the rest of us born again believers. Somebody's missing in that list. Somebody's missing. Say why? Because flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. And as a tribe of people, they're the first to turn from God. And honestly, they expose their hearts. It wasn't really a matter of them turning from God, because it appears they never were close to God. All the promised land did for them was reveal, we don't believe in God enough. We don't believe. That's why we can't take what God has for us, because we don't have faith in Him. That's why we pursue the easy thing. That's why we can steal and it doesn't bother us. That's why we can set up idols as an alternative to make us feel good. That's why we have a voice for the apostates and not for the good shepherd. That's why. Not there. So I found that significant. They that are after the flesh cannot endure tribulation. I'll just say that to you. But what tribulation does to a born-again believer is it puts them in a place where it burns off the flesh and leaves them with nothing but their faith. And it exposes there is faith there. Yes. Father, bless the message. Thank you for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, as we continue to learn and grow. Help us to evaluate our own hearts. We're thankful for the lesson that Dan teaches us, the Word teaches us about Dan. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would draw people close to you. Lord, because we do live in a body of flesh, we have to deal with these weaknesses. Help us on purpose. Help us on purpose to be sensitive to your voice, to hold your house in high esteem. Help us on purpose to be the benefactors of grace, the grace that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to brag on you as we live here, to lift you up. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me ask this question. Maybe there's somebody here who'd say, "Preacher, according to what I have heard, I don't know if I'm even saved. I don't know if I'm born again. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I'm not sure that I'm saved. I know it's Sunday night, but I want to ask this." If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. If you'd slip your hand up so I can see it, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone like that as I look around? Okay. Maybe there's some folks here that say, "Preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart. This helped me. This ministered to me. And I know there's some things, maybe decisions you need to make." And you just say, I need prayer. If you lift your hand up, I'd like to pray for you. Are there folks like that? All right. God bless you. God bless you all over. Father, may you bless those that have raised their hands and strengthen them, encourage them, help them, Father, in their personal walk. And Lord, may you be glorified in all that we do here. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian.